thank everyone that has blessed us so far this morning. Where is Chandra? Man, I tell you what, she's so talented now. Amen. Amen. And of course, we have the resident quintet now. You guys keep growing that, but beautiful music, thank you. And where's Dylan? Thank you for reading for me. And Ray, that was a very good prayer. Thank you for blessing us with that. Dawn had to be our money lady today. Thank you for that as well. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, this morning, we're at the point in our service where we look for the words that you have for us for today that will take us with blessings into this coming week. Sometimes, Father, those words can be a little bit uneasy for us, but we know you love us and we need to hear truth. Oftentimes, those words can be quite comforting for us. So at this time, Lord, I pray that you would take away my sin, cleanse my heart, and allow me to be your mouthpiece this morning to deliver the message that you have in store for each and every one of us. This I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right. Anybody know what this is? Is this yours, Don? Okay, we'll move it for a second. Our sermon title today is Gratitude with an Attitude. I didn't create that. I saw that, and I thought, yeah, that's catchy. First Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, Paul tells us, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Like so many other passages, it is common for us to gloss over that. Do you know what I mean? It is common for us to read that and take it simply at face value. But what does it mean to rejoice always? What's that? Being content, being happy, doing this daily. Rejoice always. How about in everything, you have a smile? You kick the corner of that doorpost. How do you smile? But isn't that what rejoice always mean? When I kick, I say, oh, thank you, Jesus, that it is not bleeding and I don't need to have that toenail removed. In everything, there is an upside, isn't there? Pray continually. Prayer becomes mundane at times, repetitive at times. How many different things can we pray for? Thank you, Lord, for these sunny side up eggs today. Tomorrow, oh, they're still sunny side up. Thank you, Lord, for these. How do you change that? How do you pray continually? Well, let me tell you just a thought. You wake up in the morning, and the first thing you do is you thank the Lord that you are breathing. You open your eyes and you can see that sunlight and you're like, ooh, I can see. Look, I can see. You got something to thank God for. And you swing your legs off and you stand up and say, like, wait a second. I don't need a wheelchair. I can stand up and walk. I got something to thank God for. And every step of the way, you got something to be praying to God about. You get in the car and you're driving down the road and you get pulled over because you're listening to the radio and you're not paying attention and you're doing 78 in a 65. Okay, that's terrible. That's going to ruin your day. And you don't know, you can't know because you don't have the providence of God that 10 seconds later would have been a smash. I would much rather a $200 ticket than a wreck and go into the ER in an ambulance, me personally. And I can't know, so I fuss about that ticket, but maybe God has a plan for me. So I praise him. I rejoice even in that moment. And I pray continually, right? And then he says, give thanks in all circumstances. And this is where we pump the brakes. I'm not Jesus. I'm not going to pretend to be Jesus. What do you mean give thanks in all circumstances? You slapped me. I only got two cheeks and I need to keep that other one. give thanks in all circumstances? But this is what he says. Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. How much do you know about the life of Paul? We'll touch on that briefly and you'll understand why. For Paul to say that, you got to think, huh? But again, the same thing. In everything that happens to you, it's not always joyful and happy and makes you laugh. Sometimes it crushes your heart. How do you give thanks? You give thanks because you are not capable of seeing next month, but your Heavenly Father is. And it comes down to a simple word, faithfulness. You can't see it, but you know someone can, and you have faith in him. Be thankful in everything. You lost a job. Okay, you know what? I've been too scared to leave the job, and now I got fired. I'm brave enough to go look for a job where they're not dumping on me every other day. Find the good. Give thanks in all things. Why? Why? It says, for this is God's will for you. This is God's will that you rejoice always. This is God's will that you pray continually. This is God's will that you give thanks in all things. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, if you're here today sitting in these pews, then I can safely say, well, isn't that what it's all about? What God wants for us through Jesus Christ? Yeah. Former Olympic gold medalist, Peekaboo Street. Ever heard? Peekaboo Street, 1988, I think. I got it written down there. Gold medalist, skier. Recently, a while back, I don't know, but she donated some money to a local hospital. And to honor her and to show their gratitude, they decided to rename the emergency ward after her. Come on. It's now called Peekaboo ICU. Yeah, Alan, how did you not get that? So we're going to talk today about, you like that, all right. We're going to talk today about gratitude. In essence, gratitude means thanks and appreciation, right? It originates from a Latin word, gratia, which means grace, graciousness, or gratefulness, depending on the context in which it's used, right? There's a man at Berkeley in California. Already, that's prestigious. His name is Robert Emmons, fancy professor up there. And he wrote a paper, so we might call this a thesis or something, some fancy word, I don't know. He wrote a paper on, let's see, what was that paper on? Why gratitude is good. That's where my tax dollars went. This super intelligent scientist wrote a paper on why gratitude is good. Really? He said gratitude is an affirmation of goodness. He says we affirm that there are good things in the world, gifts, benefits, that we've received. Then he continues with the second part of gratitude, a recognition that sources of this goodness are outside of ourselves. Okay, there's that scientific twist on it. The word sounds scientific. These gifts, these benefits, they're outside of ourselves. And if you believe in a higher power, then they're from there. That's where goodness comes from. I don't know about you, but I don't need some fancy scientist who doesn't even know God or believe in God and says, well, if you believe in a higher power, maybe. Because I know God, I know where goodness comes from. Can you say amen? As Christians, understanding where goodness comes from is just simply inherent in our conversion. When you accept who he is, in that moment where you are converted, in that moment where so many people say, I'm saved, in that moment, you know where goodness comes from, right? And the natural response is gratitude. Because we've learned the point system doesn't work with God. How many are on that? What is that eating point system called again? Where you get 60 points a day. Weight Watchers, yeah. God doesn't do Weight Watchers for salvation. Doesn't work on the point system, how many good things you did today. And okay, I did some bad things, so tomorrow I got to be extra good. Right? We understand this gift from God, and we are grateful because we realize we don't deserve it, and we can't earn it. That's a song I like. What was that song? The 99 song. The sheep, the one. Come on. I digress. I'm sorry. It's a good worship hymn, though. Okay. Last week. Well, today, the sermon message is not going to be a heavy doctrine that's going to slap you around. Relax. Today, the sermon message is not going to be some super inspiring thing that's supposed to make you feel guilty because you hadn't been getting out of that bench warming state. So everybody can relax today. Okay? Last week, Brother Tony Robertson had the Garden of Prayer. Who remembers?
Yeah.
And Tony kind of threw me off, I got to be honest. And as I was kneeling over in that corner and he was praying, you know us who had COVID, we can't remember in 10 seconds. So I whipped my phone out, opened notes, and I type in something real quick. Right? But Tony challenged us to find 50 things that we're grateful for today. And if you can do that, all right, that's stage one, level one for all you video game heads. That's level one. Who can do 100 things that you're grateful for from God? And so on and so forth, right? He reminded us that every time we pray, it just seems like it's always about us. You know? Lord, I need you to give me this. Lord, I need you to do that. Lord, I need you to heal. Lord, go ahead and bless. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. And when do we say, Lord, thank you? Right? So I'm kneeling over there last week. I'm like, he's right. Every time we pray, he's like, we want something. We're like that friend. He's not there when the grass needs cutting, but he's there when he needs to borrow the weed eater. Right? When do we praise God? When do we say thank you instead of always asking? When do we recognize in gratitude what he has actually already done for us? We're so wrapped up in today, we've forgotten about yesterday's blessings. We're so worried about tomorrow that here we are, Lord, I need you to make sure you give me this stuff. And that's how our life seems to roll. So for me, I just felt moved by your prayer. This is not to build you up or give you accolades, brother. I'm just saying it was a good prayer, and it was very inspiring to me. And I felt a notion to expound upon that. He was only given a few minutes. I have an hour and 22 minutes. What are you laughing at, Scott? Okay. So here we are, a message on gratitude, but not just gratitude, gratitude with an attitude. That almost sounds bad, doesn't it? Gratitude with an attitude. Sounds like our teenagers. I'm not looking at y'all. Gratitude with an attitude. What is that all about? Gratitude with a little bit of spunk. Gratitude with an added measure of sincerity. Gratitude with determination to challenge myself to be actually grateful. Deep in here, not just in these generic words we roll out. But how do I do this? How do I demonstrate to God gratitude with attitude? I think, for me, it has to be a genuine, heartfelt display to our Heavenly Father. Do we have a, Abel, if you can help me. See those two chairs back there, folding chairs? Can you bring those up to me? And I need two cordless mics. If I can get two, you guys have two? Okay, got the black and the red. Don't worry, I have an hour and 22 minutes. Let's get these two chairs right here. Thank you. Make sure his name is in the credits when we end the show. We're going to play a game. Okay. I will call on somebody I know I can beat. Sister Sarah, come see me. Come see me. Brother Johnny, come help me out. Brother Johnny is going to be the judge. Me and Sister Sarah are going to do battle. You guys have a seat. Have your mic. You guys have played volleyball, right? You just go. Okay, maybe that's ping pong. Either way, this is a 60-second lightning round. You get to say something, and I have 1 second flat to say something back. And it has to be a praise or a thanks to God the Father, to the Son Jesus, or to the Holy Spirit. If you hesitate for a second, you lost. If you say something I already said, you lost. If I say something you said, I lost. We good? You think you can take me?
I think I can take
you. Ooh.
Y'all help me.
You're going to start.
Joy.
What is that?
What do you say?
She already lost? Okay, I'll start. You ready? You tell me when.
Rumble.
I thank you, Jesus, for these shoes. They're so nice and shiny. Thank you, Jesus.
I thank God for my life he's given me.
Thank you, Holy Spirit, for comforting me all the time.
Thank God for my family.
I praise you, Lord, for the sunshine this morning.
Oh, I thank God for a roof over my head.
Ooh, Lord, it was so hot this week. Oh, my goodness, but thank you.
Thank you, sweet Jesus, for my church family.
Oh, come on. Oh, come on.
That's more than a second.
Give me back my mic.
That's more than a second.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. We're not done. We're not done. We can't keep all the fun. We're going to do one more. Hey, Presley, you want to play? You don't have to. I'm just asking. If you don't want to, you can do it next week. But I need two of you off of that bench to come up here. Send me two teenagers. Oh, she's going to play. Okay, give me another teenager.
Good job, Presley. Come on up here. Good job, Johnny.
You have a seat. She's going to need your mic. You're just going to have to yell. So you guys saw the demonstration. You know what we're doing, right? It's about
yep.
Thankfulness to God, just like that. Always thankful. And we will let you start. You ready?
Thank you, God, for waking me up this morning.
Thank you, God, for my family.
Thank you, God, for letting Olivia wake me up this morning for church.
Thank you, God, for Zaria bringing me to church.
Thank you, God, for putting food on my plate this morning to eat.
Thank you, God, for a roof over my head.
Thank you, God, for my family.
You already said that.
Oh, well, I'm thankful twice.
You can't be double thankful on the stage.
Well, I'm thankful twice for it.
That's against the rules.
It's the work.
Collect the microphones. Thank you all for playing.
That's a duplicate.
That's a dupe. You guys actually did pretty good. You did. I expected they would be stumped, but they did good. Okay. So I'm just curious. How many people actually went home or during the course of the week wrote down 50 things that they're grateful for per Tony's recommendation? We forgot. I did too. But think about this for a second. I mean, I'm going to share something with you here in a minute. It'll help put it in perspective, but it's nothing new to you. But it is incredible how much God has done for us, and we don't even see it. It really is. That's peekaboo. You know, peekaboo, I see you. Okay, we're going past her. How many of us babysit sometimes? It's a good few extra bucks or at least some free food. What if you go to babysit and say, okay, here's the kid. Go outside. We'll be back in 12 hours after the shift. And you sit out there on the dirt floor, really just out in the yard, and all day in that hot sun, and you're 5 years old holding that little baby, and that's your job today, babysit. It's going to be your job tomorrow. Let me tell you something. Let's just pick on somebody. Octavia, not you. Let's just say Octavia is babysitting. And the air condition breaks, and it's been 2 hours, and it's 88 degrees in the house. You know what's going to happen? Octavia's going to call mom. Listen, need you to, right? Not you, Octavia, right? Because we're spoiled. I said that wrong. We're so accustomed to the comforts. We're so accustomed to it. And this is life every single day. This is what five-year-old Grace does every day, right? Anybody likes a good barbecue? We just had 4th of July. Let me tell you, I ate burgers for like 2 weeks. Who likes a good barbecue? Well, check this out. Outdoor barbecue, 4th of July. This is in Uganda, and this is how they cook every day. And there is mom trying to get that fire going so she can cook for her, the kids, and others. This is every day. We fuss because the stove is broken. I don't fuss because I don't know how to cook. But when you got to turn it so much because the degrees are off, and it's hot in the kitchen, and you can't exhaust the smoke, and all, oh, we're fussing. You know, we forgot some of the ingredients. Ask her what spices she's got on the rack. Right? The things we are blessed with, and we don't pay attention to it because we deserve it, because we should have it. Right? Okay, check this out. Sometimes I would get up in the night, I'm gonna head to the kitchen, I'm gonna get me a drink of water. Right? And if I trip over, say, Octavia's shoes, I'm going to be fussing. It's just the way I am. 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm tripping. Where didn't she put her shoes away, right? I'm kidding. She puts her shoes away. In India, this is how he gets a drink of water. And that just doesn't sit well with me. I think I might skip that drink myself. That's not filtered water. He doesn't have a Brita on the other end of that piece of bamboo right there. And that's how he gets a drink. Can I say thank you, Lord, for my kitchen? Thank you, Lord, that the water is in my kitchen. You know why? Look at this here. Same kid, 5-year-old Grace. She walks 4.5 miles in the jungle area, or whatever we call it, the plains in Uganda, to get water. And she carries a 3-liter jug that's not sanitized for drinking, back home. She's 5 years old. She can get attacked by wild animals out there. She could be attacked by traffickers. Anything can happen to a 5-year-old little girl walking 4.5 miles for a jug of water. And I'll tell you what, even if I have to carry a jug of water, by the time I get from the backyard to the front yard, I'm like, whew. And she walks 4.5 miles with that jug of water at 5 years old. And I'm fussing. I can't say thank you, Lord, that I have running water. I wish there's something more I had, Lord, but I don't take the time to say thank you for this simple thing, right? The gratitude we owe to God that we overlook. This is her caring for a baby brother. It looks cozy and comfy, right? All day long, mom is out working, trying to make enough so she can get some food. They don't worry about the 401k. She's just trying to get some food for today. You see what I'm saying? And this 5-year-old has to stay home all day with the little baby. If the baby is sick, how does she handle that? If the baby cries nonstop because of a stomach thing, how does she handle that? She's 5 years old, right? And we are 18, 19 years old, and we fuss because we can't get things that we want. We fuss because we have a raggedy old car. Or we fuss because we don't have a car. Teenagers, not you. You see what I'm saying? And this is her life, 5 years old. In 10 years, where is she going to be? She's not going to be off at Lamar University in an air-conditioned classroom, is she? So when you get to go to Lamar to further your education, can you say, thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you, Jesus, for my good parents. Thank you for the freedoms of this country. Thank you for all of this. As opposed to, I hate that professor. He is worthless. He can't even speak good English. I don't want this class anymore. It's going to be his fault that I fail. Right? Imagine 10 of them. There's a family. 10 of them in a small grass hut. One room. That's the house. Okay? No bathroom inside. No Xbox anywhere, even in the village. No Netflix. I don't know how we made it through the 90s without Netflix. There's no Netflix for them. There's no air conditioning. I draw the line right there. Look, I can figure out I'm pop a DVD in if I don't have Netflix because my internet is down, but no air conditioning, I draw the line. Can I not be grateful for so very much? I have so much, right? Look at the clothes on the other hut. That's the dryer. You see that? That's the dryer, right? What do you say, Octavia? Mom, I'm moving out. I'm done. This is ridiculous. I can't live like this. This is life every single day, and they have a smile on their face, and I can't comprehend that. Can you? Because I'm worrying about how much since January to July my 401k tanked. I really am. I'm looking at it more often than I should. It's like, there goes my money. There goes my hard-earned money. Why am I not saying, Lord, I have food on my table this evening. Thank you. Why am I not saying, Lord, I'm not sleeping under the bridges where Johnny is going after this sermon, and it's 102 degrees heat index at night because I'm in my air-conditioned house. Thank you, Jesus. It's okay that the 401k is dropping. How can I not take that perspective? How can you not take that perspective? They all live in there. Look at that hut, that thatched roof. All it does is keep wild animals away and the rain and the cold. They don't even have beds in there. 10 of them. There's my big bathtub. Love my big bathtub. Is that a baby alligator over there? That's them every day. That's how they get clean. That's how they bathe. Are you happy to have your shower inside? When was the last time you said thank you for that? You didn't, because you were born with it. You were born with indoor plumbing and a shower. The country I came from, we had a bucket and we went down the hill and there was, we call it a standpipe, you know, and we'd fill and bathe. And we loved it because we could hang out with the friends. That's shower time in Trinidad back in the 70s. You guys, you're born with an indoor shower, hot and cold. My whole country doesn't have hot water. Right? This is how they, this is it. It's unsanitary, but that's the only way for them to get clean. When was the last time we were thankful to God for what he has provided for us? Let me tell you something. I don't like to wait. I love Chick-fil-A. They rigged up some three lanes, and you get in there, and that line is around the corner, and normally they're like, ugh. But I'm okay, because in 3 minutes, I'm eating. I don't know how they do it. I don't like to wait. Every single day when they need water, they walk miles and miles. They line up there and wait their turn, pump whatever they can, and they share this water, and they got to walk all the way back to the village. I would not do it. I would not do it. I would ask them to do it for me. Isn't that the culture I'm in? This is life every day. This is how they get water. Water, something as simple as that. This is life. Can you be thankful to God for what you have today? We're always asking him, we want more. We need more. We work hard, Lord. Why are you not blessing us with more? You look at this and realize how much more you already have, right? McDonald's, anybody? I had that yesterday, let me tell you. Two of the hot and spicy and a basket of fries, a big drink, $8.72. You can see that receipt. It is. Listen, this is India. Look at these little kids. They are so happy to have food. They're happy to have food. I'd be fussing. I'm not eating that. What? What? I didn't get married to eat that. Better run into McDonald's for me. Look at that. Can I say thank you, Lord? Because every day I get three meals if I want them. Every day. And our kids at school, we have programs. So if they can't afford it, they get a breakfast. They get a lunch. They don't know when the next meal is coming. But they're happy. They still manage to play and smile. And I can't really wrap my mind around that. You know? Because I feel like, well, my government owes me something. Somebody owes me something. Why am I suffering? Love what you've done with the color scheme. It looks great. Okay? When do we say thank you for the small patio with the little ceiling fan? Because she's on the dirt on some little half a step looking thing, and she's smiling with that little boy because she has shelter over her head and these tarps or walls around her, and she is so grateful for that. And I'm fussing because there's not enough insulation in my attic and my AC is running too long. Right? I'll be honest. I'll dime on myself. It's true. Time to do the dishes. Here you go, Octavia. Time to do the dishes. She's five-year-old Grace. Her turn to do, wait, it's not her turn. It's always her turn. That's her assigned chore. Every day, she gets out of there, one pot with some water, one pot, and she's just washing and cleaning the dishes. And she's so happy because she has food. I don't know, man. I'd let it pile up in the sink, me. Okay, it's not as fun as art class. Hey. At least you got some chalk. Be happy. Let me tell you something. Our kids, if they don't have a big enough TV and an iPhone and a subscription to Amazon, there's a problem in the house. You hear what I'm saying? There's a problem in the house. I'm saying that very generically, okay? Octavia does not fuss, I promise you. But look, this is life every day, and when Amazon does not deliver my mower carburetor tomorrow until 9 p.m., I'm going to be fussing. I'm going to be fussing because I wanted to change it tomorrow in the daytime. That's what I have to fuss about. You see what I'm saying? This is the joy of her life, to get out there because the chores are done and she already walked her 4.5 miles to get some dirty water to drink, and now she can play in the dirt and draw. This is life. Are we grateful for what God has blessed us with? Gratitude with an attitude. We're not done, Perry. You ready to sing? Am I getting the cutoff sign there? The picture of the water is about perspective. Are you looking down at the water from in the boat, or are you looking up at the water from underneath, right? Where is your perspective? Are you looking up and suffering, and or feel like you're suffering, or are you looking down in gratitude that you're in the boat above the water? So let's face it, Tony was right. We have so much, but we want more. We have so much, but we're unhappy with what we want. Does this sound like a biblical message? Because I hadn't thrown scriptures at you yet? Because I'm telling you, this is straight out of the Bible, and you'll see in a second. Let's come full circle and bring this closer to home. In this congregation, who among us, as you sit there, you're suffering in pain? Who among you right now needs a medical procedure? Your life depends on it. Who out here in this congregation is incapable of keeping food down and you've been losing weight for the last 8 months? And you're praying to get in to see the doctor, but there's such a backlog. Can you imagine that? It's known something is wrong. It's known it's an emergency. It's known it needs to happen right now, but we can't see you till next month. How crazy is that? How many of us are actually suffering that right now? Oh, really? None of you? Yeah. Do you have something to be grateful for today? So we're talking about gratitude in demonstration. All right, you can get your rotten veggies out. Here we go. Yesterday, we had an anointing and a prayer for our sister Susan. How many of us were there? Let's not count the elders because we're required. We're the anointers. So there were about four of us out there. Are we that busy? Are we that busy, right, that we can't get out there to lend encouragement to one of our own, knowing the suffering that she is in the midst of? And I'll tell you, she was tremendously grateful just for the few that showed up. If one had showed up, she would have been tremendously grateful and blessed. You hear the word grateful, right? How many of us, we were so busy with our own lives, even though this was put out on men's ministry, women's ministry, prayer warriors, board members, all these WhatsApp, and four of us had the time. I can't point the finger at you. I can't. I get busy all the time. But it's the truth. It's the truth. James 5:14 tells us, who is sick among you? Call for the elders. Call for an anointing. Confess our sins and pray one to another and one for another. That extends beyond the elders to every last one of you. Is there an age limit to that? Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ at the age of 12 led in the synagogue the message for the day. We have countless accounts of children 6, 7, 8 years old preaching in the last 100 years, in the last 10 years, today. So why is it that at 14 or 16 or 19 or 21, you're not qualified, so let the elders do that? We're so bogged down in our own lives that we miss sight of the opportunities to be a blessing to somebody else. Yet, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 told us, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all things. Why? Because this is the will of God for you in Jesus Christ. You might think that you're thankful to God. Let me tell you something. This isn't applying to everybody. There are many here who truly are thankful to God all the time. And they recognize that they are. They praise God all the time. Many of you do. So please, hold your rotten tomatoes. This isn't just, hey, you're all bad folks. Because I'm telling you, I know how busy I get, and I lose sight of these opportunities myself. Okay, test. Everybody, for 2 seconds, close your eyes tight. Close your eyes tight. And if I say, okay, bathroom break, how are you managing that? You can't see. You don't even know how to get around if you're blind. You don't know how. And people live born blind, okay? We donate to, it's one of the online donations. Anybody remember where they have the camp for the blind and they give out Braille Bibles and all? That's their whole life. They've never seen a flower. They will never have a driver's license to be able to fuss about how nice the car is or is not. But every one of us, the fact that we can see to drive here today, to drive back home, to drive to a job, take it for granted instead of saying, Lord, thank you that I can see. Lord, thank you that I can smell. And I can say that because I hadn't been able to really smell since last year, August. It didn't stop me from eating, but that's beside the point. How many can say, Lord, thank you for my very mobility? I can't imagine. Let me tell you, when every so often you're going to see me where this foot acts up and I'm on crutches, you try going to the bathroom. Woo! You got to fall. You got to fall. People can't even stand up, don't know what it feels like to just do this freely. And I take this for granted because my foot hurts. Right? What do you say? Can I get a witness? Can somebody say, brother, you are right. I take that for granted. But God bless me that I can walk today. And that list goes on. The simple, intrinsic blessings we overlook like we deserve it. You guys heard of the prophet Daniel? Daniel was a cool cat. But when he was 12 years old, they raided his village, snatched him up. He's a slave boy, poor guy. But he was faithful to God. Folks didn't like him. Folks are not going to like you. You start getting happy, happy, joy, joy. People are not going to like you. Too much joy, too much gratitude. Folks are not going to be on board with that. They said, we got to get rid of this Daniel cat. This is crazy. Decree goes out. Only person you can pray to is the king. Right? What does Daniel do? Let me tell you something. He walks in. He goes upstairs. He busts those windows open. He falls on his knees facing Jerusalem and says, praise you and thank you, God. He wasn't afraid. Did it work out well for him right then? No. He got snatched up and thrown in the den. Didn't seem like it worked out well again. But in the end, we know the story. It worked out for Daniel. But that faithfulness, he did not know that he would not be eaten by lions. He couldn't know. In the same fashion, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, O great king, live forever. We will not bow to your idol. Our God can save us. But if he chooses not to, we will still honor our God. We will still be faithful. We will not bow to your idol. Right? And how about Hannah? She cried. She cried. Eli thought she was drunk. All I want is a child. Eli prays to the Lord. She's blessed with Samuel. She makes a pledge. I'll keep him for 6 years and just wean him and raise him, and then I'm going to turn him over to the Lord. I can't imagine what you would do. Let's go back to Dylan. Where's Mama? No, let's go with the firstborn, Dwight. You hadn't had the others yet. And you are sure to give. You got Dwight. Love that little boy because you hadn't had the little girl yet to see how good it could be. I'm kidding. That was wrong. And at 6 years old, you got to turn him over. How easy is that? It's not. But she made a pledge to God. She had a covenant with God. And in tears, but in joy, she handed Samuel over. And look at the might and the power with which he became a prophet of God and led and judged the nation of Israel. Look at what he did. Because she wasn't selfish and said, let me hold him back. But God is not a selfish God. God blessed her with many more children. That's further down in the story, right? And we talked about this guy, Paul. Let me tell you. He was beaten for the gospel. He was imprisoned for the gospel and was in there singing, do Lord, do Lord. Right? Beaten and imprisoned. He was shipwrecked on his way to jail. He starts a fire and he's trying to help people and he gets bitten by a viper, a poisonous snake. And in all of this, he's still saying, thank you, Lord. Come on, Paul. At least draw the line of the viper. How can people love God and be so grateful to God that in all of the adversity, they still say, thank you, God. I am grateful to you. I know what you have done for me. I know I deserve none of it, yet I have so much. Thank you, God. This is the life of Paul once he got on board after the road to Damascus. Can I get a witness to that one? You guys know that story. I'm going to share a quick story with you. We're coming down to the end of it. So a man and his wife, they're walking through a park. Nice walking park, you know, little paved sidewalk and all. And a vicious dog starts rushing at them. Remember, okay, ladies, cover your ears for a second. Guys, it's all about who you can run faster than. The dog will catch the straggler. Okay, uncover your ears. So the man sees the dog rushing, and what does he do? He scoops his wife up and lifts her up like this. The dog is like, this is weird. He leaves. No vicious dog is going to do that. They're not that dumb. But let's just say for the sake of the story, he leaves. So he sets his wife down, expecting a hug and some gratitude. And she says, I have never in my life, I've seen people pick up stones to throw at a dog, sticks to throw at a dog. I've never seen a man pick up his wife to throw her at a dog. Moral of the story? Nobody can misunderstand a husband the way a wife can. But that's beside the point. We'll leave that alone. We live in a society of plenty. Can you agree with that? We do. We live in a society of plenty. We talk about this recession and the pandemic, and people are still buying $75,000 pickup trucks. Okay? We live in a society of plenty. Plenty of money, plenty of big houses, plenty of luxury cars, fancy restaurants, competitive employment opportunities, vacations. But we still focus on what has not gone well. We still zone in on what has not worked out well. We say, well, if it wasn't for bad luck, I won't have no luck at all. Or, well, I'm making it. I'm making it. I'm going to make it. Or I'm getting by. You're going to get by. You're making it. You don't look like you missed 14 meals. What you talking about? I'm just asking. Right, Bill? Look, that's all that's left. Relax. Did you not see those slides that I shared with us earlier? If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Well, I guess I'm getting by. I'm gonna make it. Really? That's the best you got for Jesus Christ for what he's done. I guess I'm gonna make it. Come on. Talk back to me. Say something. Everything that we have is given to us by the might and the compassion of God. You think it's you. You think you graduated college and you're so smart. You think you built your own business. You think you have. Let me tell you, God blessed you with the ability to. God blessed your parents to raise you so that you could go to college. God blessed you by putting you in the path of people where you had opportunities. And you don't see any of that. All you see is I did, I got, I accomplished. And when you don't have everything you shot for, you don't say thank you, God, because you didn't get it all. Look at the book of Psalms. Psalms 100. You guys know David? Yeah. David was a different sort, let me tell you. If I could be like David, whoo. David had big brothers that were fancy, and he was the little scrawny kid, and he was still happy out there protecting those sheep. He was anointed, God blessed him, and he became one of the greatest kings of the nation of Israel. Yeah. But he had a troubled life. There was murder, there was adultery, There was betrayal. There was fighting within the family. You name it. It was in his life. Nonetheless, the Lord said, David is a man after my own heart. Why? Because he wasn't perfect. We know that. But he knew how to say, thank you, Lord. He knew how to demonstrate a gratitude to a God that was taking care of him. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with what? Praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is what? Good. His mercy is what? Everlasting. His truth is what? Endures to all generations. Not just David's generation. All the way to today. His mercy endures and is everlasting. The words that should ring true to us every single day, the words that should roll off our tongues, is really simple. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchased of God. I am born of his spirit. I am washed in his blood. This is my story. I'm going to go out there and tell it. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, I'm telling you. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Can I get an amen on that? So you think you have it rough and don't have enough to be thankful for? I encourage you to think of somebody else then. Think about Sister Susan as she is in dire straits. Think about Sister Marva. It's unfortunate. We can't go see her, but she hasn't heard our voices in years. She hasn't seen our faces. She grew with us. She raised our children. She was my Sabbath school teacher, and she sits right over the way there, and I can't see her, and she doesn't see me. Think about somebody else that is facing trials. And then let that put you in the perspective. We're not under the water drowning. We're above the water looking down at it. But there are some who are under the water looking up. You have a responsibility. You have a charge. Can you agree with that? This isn't only about just me taking care of myself. God has charged me with raising my children. He has charged you with raising yours. We don't have full control of where they go. But we have a responsibility to God to raise our children as best as we can under his direction. God has assigned us, Matthew 25. God has assigned us to take care of his people. When he comes back, we know what he's going to say. Who visited me when I was hungry? Who fed me? Who clothed me when I was naked? Who came out to the streets and saw me when I was homeless? Who prayed with me when I was destitute and down? Who? And then some are going to say, Lord, when did we see you naked and not clothe you? When did we see you sick and not come visit you? And he's going to tell you, he's going to tell me, inasmuch as you have not done it to one of the least of these, a homeless person at the bridge, one of the least of these, you didn't do it unto me. Depart from me. So it's on you how you live your life. It's on you how much gratitude you have in your heart. You can come on up, Perry. How much gratitude you have in your heart. You understand what I'm saying? We're not beating you down. This applies to every single denomination, to every single Christian, to everyone that God has showered his blessings on, and we don't quite get it. Right? Because we're so full of I. It's about me. It's about what I have and what I need. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, this morning, humbly I come before you, asking you to bless your people, to open our eyes spiritually so we can see how much we have. While we have it, give us that spirit of your Son Jesus, that we will have this desire to tirelessly serve, to tirelessly minister. Even when he was tired, he didn't turn anyone away. How can we be like that unless you help us to be like that, Lord? Teach us how to surrender our hearts to you. And then, Father, mold us into what you will have us be. And someday when you return, please save us in your kingdom. We ask this in the name of Jesus.